Hello, my name's Maria Ponzi, president of Ponzi Vineyards. We would love to see you at one of our girls' night out dinners coming soon. Check our website, PonziWines.com, for those dates, and we look forward to seeing you. Cheers.
Thank you for listening to iWine Radio. I'm Lynn Crelo Chamberlain.
Welcome to Wine and Dine.
We're continuing our conversation with the Ponzi sisters, second generation owners of Ponzi Vineyards in Sherwood, Oregon, in the Willamette Valley. And right now we're going to introduce you to Maria Ponzi, who's president and director of sales and marketing at Ponzi Vineyards. Her current focus is growing the family business in the modern age of global wine sales. And her background actually is journalism, marketing, and public relations. And Maria, thank you so very much for your time.
Thank you.
Have you gone to one of these girls' night out dinners yet?
Of course I have. I love them. I think I've hosted three or four now, and they're absolutely a blast. We love when we can get not too big of a crowd, like between 30 and 40, and it just creates a really nice group of people, and it's just been really interesting to see what happens, the dynamic that happens when you have just women, just estrogen in the room. It's very exciting.
Years ago, I taught a class that was all women, and I was floored as almost like a fly on the wall and of myself of how the dynamics went with just women.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You can get away with saying things that you wouldn't say around guys.
Well, absolutely. And I think what I have found really is that the interest level is so much more, and it goes beyond wine. So we had conversations about what it's like to be a child growing up in the wine industry, like to be a working mother, what's it like to be in the world of, you know, alcohol as a woman. And it just, you know, it goes on and on. And I do agree that the conversations are completely different. And from my point of view, I really enjoy them a whole lot more. You know, I've been doing wine dinners for a very long time, and you know, it was kind of losing my interest. So perhaps this is a little bit of a selfish vendetta here.
Well, I totally agree with you. I totally doing winemaker dinners where you're just talking about, oh, Chardonnay tastes like this.
Yeah,
it gets really old, a long time ago.
It does.
Okay, let me ask you this on a very personal note, which is kind of two-pronged. You opened the door for me here. You grew up in this family of winemaking. And so there was, I mean, alcohol is a huge part of your life. So as a parent, how did you raise your children? Did you raise them so, and did it work the way you thought it would work as a young 20-year-old? Did your children abuse alcohol? Did they say, I don't see the big deal? Because, I mean, there's so much diversity in that response I'm getting from people in the wine industry.
Yeah. Well, it's a big, big piece of it for us, certainly. And I think that if you go back to how Louisa and I were raised, it's actually, I think, even more interesting because we were kids, we were really farm kids. The wine industry in Oregon hadn't really
grown up.
So we were kind of really freaks, if you can think of it in a way of kids working on a farm, but not in a conventional way. So we were some of the first wine grape growers here. And so the idea of growing grapes for alcohol was really a twist for people in the farming community. So it was difficult for us, I think, as kids growing up to kind of mix in with the other agricultural families, the farming community here, because alcohol was attached to our name. But we managed to get through that. But certainly at home, you know, we always saw wine as food. It was always presented as food. It was on the table. It was never out on the patio. People talk about these days, you know, just drinking wine outside and just kind of casually. It was a completely different experience that we were raised with. And so because of that, I think Luis and I both really, as far back as we can remember, had a respect for this product of wine. And looked at it that way. It wasn't to be abused. It wasn't to even be treated like, you know, like other spirits or beer. It was really a special thing. And my kids now are teenagers. And so we're now just kind of going through this whole part of life where, you know, there's a lot of, you know, young adults that are abusing alcohol. And I'm really interested to see how my kids will react to it because, of course, I raised them the same way at our home is wine's on the table. And it's very much respected. And certainly I think my children as well as Louisa and I growing up, we see the work that's involved to make something like wine. And we realize it's not easy. It's a lot of work. It takes a lot of people. And so why would you abuse it? And so I think that it'll be interesting to see how my children, you know, get through this period of their life.
That's a great, you brought up a couple really great points that nobody else has ever said. And that is that I always hear people say, well, it's on the table, but you don't have it as a cocktail when you're cooking dinner by, you know, in the kitchen, all that kind of stuff. It's only brought out at dinner on the table. Mm-hmm. And also the fact that there's so much work that goes into it. Do your kids, do your work at the winery? I mean, do they get their hands dirty? Do they get involved in the vineyard or the winery?
Yes. The short answer is absolutely. And I think that Louisa and I have again, you know, that's our number one thing. I think if nothing else, we realize that's the most important thing that we learned from growing up in the way we did. And so our kids are, you know, the summers are available to them now and they work in the vineyards. That's the height of the season in the vineyard during the summer. And then they are also working in the warehouse when they can on the weekends during the school year. We're always having them. Their number one job is they pack all of our Cellar Club wine shipments, which is 4 times a year, which is really not fun at all.
Yeah.
But it's called assembly line, and it's not fun, but, you know, it's what it is. And so, yeah, I think they're getting a taste of it. And I wish there was more of that. But today's world is different than our world, in terms of demands on young people and schoolwork and all those other things that get in the way. Yeah. But and also, you know, we have events here, and so the kids are now able to learn about service, food service. So there's a lot of really great training that just happens naturally for these kids. And again, they are viewing alcohol from a different perspective. So even at an event, to see how people perhaps are, you know, drinking too much, you know, they're mortified by it. They're mortified. And they'll come home and go, hey, that woman was really out of, you know, or that guy was really, you know, obtuse.
That's
or whatever.
Great.
And these are great lessons that I think that they are seeing that they can, you know, make their own decisions as they move through life.
That's about wonderful.
How they want to use it.
Absolutely wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. Yeah. I'm dying to ask you, I see in your bio that you spent a year in school in Perugia.
Yeah, I did. I was at the university in Perugia and I loved it and I wanted to, you know, like all young girls wanted to live in Rome. And
yeah.
But it was a great experience. Loved it. But was happy to always come. It's always great to come back to America, I have to say. It's always a good feeling.
So what happened in your life, if I can ask, if it's not too personal, that you made this transition where you decided that after working in journalism a couple of years, you decided you wanted to come back to Oregon. Why the switch or how? Was it a guy?
No, it wasn't. I'm the middle child, and I could not wait. I hated this whole wine thing when I was a kid. It was just, like we talked about, a lot of work.
Yeah.
No free time, and I wanted to be just a normal girl, and so I couldn't wait to leave. So after I graduated from school, I moved to Boston, you know, which was really the farthest point, you know, east as I could get, and also into an urban environment, which I was dying to do. And I was fortunate. I worked in publishing for about 3.5 years, and I loved it, although I wasn't writing. I ended up in advertising, as many of us, you know, in the early days didn't end up where we wanted to be. And then I was promoted many times, and the final promotion, I really took a look at what was happening in Oregon, and it was the early 90s, and that was a time when all the national trade publications were really starting, or the critics were really looking at Oregon, and it seeming though that it was promised. So I called my father and I said, hey, I've got this great opportunity, I can make all this money, but I'm so bored. And he said, well, you need to do what you need to do, but we could certainly use you here. I think that it was that moment of time when I thought, you know, if I can be of use if I go back to the farm, if I can actually, you know, kind of apply what I've learned here, then it would be, it's worth it. So that was really the turning point for me. And it was just coming back home. And, you know, as a farm person, you do miss seasons. You miss farming. You miss harvest. You miss that whole, I don't know, there's something holistic about that experience.
And a cycle of life.
Yes. It really, and I think you don't really understand it until you leave it for a period of time, and then you kind of go, wow, that was kind of a neat situation back there. So, and it was, you know, I was fortunate because there was a position for me, and I could apply some of my experience at that time. So, perspective's always great, right?
Yes, yeah, totally. You're totally right. But it's so wonderful that the benefit that you brought to the winery, you could not have brought without the experience that you went through.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No, it was invaluable to take that break. It's everything. And I've been here for 23 years or so since then. So, and I knew that. I was doomed to stay once I returned. But it's been a wonderful adventure. Just so fortunate.
Maria Ponzi, president of Ponzi Vineyards, we thank you so very much for your time this week on Wine and Dine.
Thank you so much, Lynn.
You're listening to Wine and Dine.
You're listening to iWine Radio.